bless the name of the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this hour. I want to give God all the glory, for this has been a blessed week indeed. It has been a blessed week, absolutely, for many people who are in a very strategic position, very strategic need. We need to come to an understanding in this hour, people of God, that we are not only in a fasting time, but we are in a praying and fasting time. This is not an hour that we do without. This is not a time and season, people of God, that we go forth and we do not have an understanding of exactly what we are to do. Now, God is working in this hour, and he is performing miracles in this hour. He's doing what he has to do in this very hour. We are not alone. Let me tell you, let me explain in a very understandable way. When we give God the glory, when we sit back and we give God all the glory and we come into a place where we worship, let it be understood that we have to stay in the presence of God in order to receive what God has for us. I want to take you, if you will go with me, to the book of Acts in the first chapter, where the disciples are talking to Christ. In the book of Acts, in the first chapter, in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel, people of God? There are so many things that people are really truly worried about, what God is going to restore, what Christ is restoring, what will be restored, what hasn't been restored. What is God going to do in this hour? People are asking all kind of questions regarding these things. But Jesus turned around and said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. People of God, he's talking to everyone. Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples. And let me say this much. There is only one way that we can receive the power of God, and that is to be in his presence. The Bible declares in chapter 2, they were all instructed to go to the upper room. Everybody was instructed to go back to the upper room. And he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues in the Spirit that gave them utterance. Now, people of God, let's pay attention really quickly. We don't have too much time. We don't have a lot of time to waste on arguing, complaining, disregard, discussions, debating. We don't have a lot of time to sit and try to figure other people out. We do not have the time that a lot of people are wasting trying to understand what they don't understand. In order to receive what God has for us in this hour, we have to spend time in His presence and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We cannot just get saved and go to the altar in 15 minutes and expect the Holy Ghost to be upon us. No, this is what happens. When the anointing is moving in a service, we can feel the conviction of the anointing moving upon us. That anointing can drive us into seeking God in a deeper place. That anointing is made and sent. The purpose of that anointing is to send us to a deeper place with God, to seek Him out, to sit and study, to sit and pray, to watch and pray, to have an understanding of what we need to do. We are in that position right now. It doesn't matter what season you think you're in or what season somebody told you you're in. The only way that you're going to understand what is happening in your environment, in your house, in your life, in your spirit, is to sit in the presence of God and seek the Word of God. I can talk to you all day long about any kind of problem and issue that may arise in any other situation, in your place, in your church, or wherever it is that you feel that there is a need. I could talk to you all day about it, but that's not going to fix the problem. I could talk to you all day about what God is doing, but that what God is doing in that place means that you've got to sit back and watch. I could talk to you all day about your situation, about your healing, about your understanding, about comprehension. I could talk to you all day about the Word of God, but that in no way, shape, or form is going to help you if you're not sitting in the presence of God. And I'll tell you why. Because the person that is talking to you, whether it be me or someone else, might be missing something that God wants you to understand without me knowing it. Are you following me? God is not always going to speak to people through somebody else. He wants your attention to Himself. He wants us to sit and wait on Him. Let me give this to you a little bit clearer. Apostle Crystal Caldwell cannot fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Only God can do that. I can teach you how to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can teach you how to prepare for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can teach you how to handle the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can teach you how to live in it and with it. But I personally cannot fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Only God can do that. This is the other thing that we need to understand. Until you have time with God, until you sit quietly in the presence of God and trust Him to fill you with that fire, trust Him to sit on you with that fire, until that time happens, you're likely to miss it. Likely, I said. Unless you're in a service someplace that the anointing is so great and you've been seeking and asking God to help you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that anointing falls on you and you start speaking in tongues and you get the Holy Ghost, then you know you've been in the presence of God. Until that happens, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be seeking. You're not going to have the answers you're looking for, because we are required to what? Sit and wait. He told them to go to the upper room for a reason. They had to go up there and they had to sit and wait. They had to wait on God. They had to sit there and study. They had to meditate. It was a time in the presence of God that they had to come into one accord. One accord. It's over 120 people in one place
sitting and waiting on the presence of God in one accord. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit, God would not send the Holy Ghost through those walls until they were all in one accord. So he's not going to allow some and not sit on others. They had to be in one accord. I listened to the scripture verse and I studied it. And even in my own body, there's been times in my own life that I have wondered about this scripture and wondered about it, and I have sat and I have thought about it, and I said, Lord, I need some answers because I'm not getting it. I don't understand how some people can get the Holy Ghost when somebody lays their hand on them, and all of a sudden they're praying out loud in tongues, and other people are just standing there like nothing ever happened to them. I don't get it. I don't understand why it is that some people can preach so hard and seems like nothing's happening, but other people can preach and the whole place goes berserk. I don't get it. What is happening? What is it that we're seeing? Am I in the wrong place? Am I in the wrong church? Am I not following this? What's happening? Help me, somebody. The Holy Spirit started dealing with me regarding this situation, regarding myself. He said, if you will seek the kingdom of God first and spend your time in the presence of God, then you will discern the spirits when you see things like this happen. You will know what's right and you will know what's wrong. That was my answer. Learn how to discern what is truly the move of God, the fresh fire of the Holy Ghost, and what is called strange fire, which is not the Holy Ghost. Learn how to discern the difference. Learn how to discern what's going on. Learn how to understand exactly where you are. In this time and in the presence of God, I had asked for several things. I asked for the understanding of what I was reading. I asked the Lord to show me how to study his word. He took me deep into the depths of the scriptures, deep back into the cultures of the day that the scriptures were written. He took me way back when Jesus was walking among the men. He took me way back in places where I could not find on my own. He took me into places that I really had to seek him out. And he took me to a place where I did not understand because I was not rightfully in the right mind to understand, because we are entirely too quick to try to learn something. Just because somebody says something does not make it right. Just because somebody is teaching something does not make it right. Just because the scriptures are being read, in no way, shape, or form does that teaching make it right. So I say this, people of God, rather than going by what Apostle Caldwell teaches, look it up in the scriptures. If there's something that you don't understand in the scriptures, look it up anyway. Then research it. Go back and read it. Keep reading it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you are not getting. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to understand. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with what you just heard, what you've just been taught, and the Holy Spirit will not only lead you and guide you, but show you everything that you need to understand about what it is that you are questioning. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for us to be able to receive what we need. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is for us to be able to discern right from wrong. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is for us to be able to walk about in faith. We need to be able to see what we need to see. We need to be able to decree and declare in the name of Jesus according to what is written. We need to be able to understand what we need to change about ourselves and how to learn how to walk in faith. I just came through a very traumatic experience in the last few months myself. And if my faith and being filled with the Holy Ghost did not help me to come through that experience, I don't know where I would be today, people of God. But God helped me to understand what I needed to know in that hour. The Holy Ghost helps you to see and then hear and then speak according to the word. I'm going to share this one more time. Shared it several times before, but I'm going to say this again. I'm going to have to repeat it many times because a lot of people just don't get it. This is the one thing that we need to learn when we have the filling of the Holy Ghost. When you walk by faith, people of God, you've got to be in that position in your mind. I have the heart of God. I want God to use me. People of God, I encourage you, speak what God is giving you. Speak it. Don't be afraid of what people are going to say or think. It doesn't matter what people say or think. I know some folk think I'm crazy, and that's all right because I am. Some people think I'm off the wall. Some people call me radical. Okay, I accept that. I'm all the above. But that doesn't change what God said he was going to do. When I speak, I'm speaking what the Holy Spirit gives me to speak. When I preach, what comes from me is from the Word of God. So when I prophesy to you and tell you what thus saith the Lord, I promise you it is from the Word of God. And if it don't come from the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, I will sit down. You won't have to tell me nothing. I'll sit myself down because I do not believe in speaking things that do not happen. I do not believe in speaking against the word, and I'm not going to try to prophesy to somebody in order to make you happy. I'm not going to try to tell you good stuff in order to keep you going, and I'm not going to try to prophesy or anything bad to you that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I know what the word says. God is a God of love. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of wrath. And let me tell you something. I do not want to be in position to be teaching something wrong and have God to strike me down. I would not be in that place. And if it weren't for the Holy Ghost, I would not know the difference between understanding right from wrong. How else are you going to learn to walk in faith if you don't have the Holy Spirit? How do you learn to walk in faith? The Bible declares that we have to be able to walk in faith in order to receive by faith. You've got to believe what you speak in order to get it. Does that make sense? Yes, it does to me. I have to decree and declare what the Lord said that is rightfully mine. The Lord said, by his stripes I am healed. I got to decree and declare that. The Bible declares that I am covered and redeemed by his blood. If I don't believe that, then I'm not redeemed. If I don't believe in the covering of the blood, then I can't be redeemed. I have to believe in it in order to have it. If I don't believe in the Holy Ghost, then I can't have the Holy Ghost. If I don't believe in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, then there's no way that I can believe in him. This is the thing. We got these things that we need in our salvation. We need our salvation, number one, to be redeemed. We need to believe, we need to have faith, we need to have the Holy Ghost, and we need to know where we're going. I am a living example of the miracles of the stripes that Jesus took for healing. I'm a living example. I'm a living example of the miracles that have taken place in my life. I should not even be here. I shouldn't even be on the radio right now. I should not be walking. I should not be talking. I should have died a long time ago. The enemy was allowed to put his hands on me, but he wasn't allowed to kill me. Without the Holy Ghost, he would be allowed to do whatever he wants to do to me. But let me tell you what God said. Touch not my anointed, to do my prophet no harm. Because when you are under that Holy Ghost anointing, nothing can do any harm without God permitting it to happen. This is something else you've got to pay attention to. The Bible says that everybody in the house was filled. Everybody. That means that the people that were sitting there waiting on the Holy Spirit, everybody was filled. Not just a few, not just some. Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I have seen people, when they get the Holy Ghost, the power of God comes over them. I've seen them run. I've seen them dance. I've seen them shake. I've seen them talk in tongues. I've seen them be. You can't sit still, people of God. You can't sit still when the power of God comes on you. You cannot sit still. I'm a living example. But you have to understand again and discern the difference between right and wrong. And if you can't do that, then it's best to be still. Until you feel the power of God upon you, it is best to be still. Keep in mind, people of God, when the power of God comes on you, you can't control it. No, sirree, you cannot control it. It moves everything. It moves you. It will move things out of your way. And this is one of the things that we need to recognize in the church today. When the power of God has come over somebody, this is something that altar workers need to understand. Leave people alone. Leave them alone. Don't try to hold them back. Don't try to hold them down. Don't try to put your arms around them. Don't form no circle around them. Don't form no chain around them. These folks are getting delivered. When the power of God comes on you, people get their deliverance from the power of God. And they don't need to be held down. That's the problem. They're being held down. They're being held in chains of bondage as it is because of whatever situation they're trying to get out of. But when people come around them and they want to put their hands up, form a circle around people and hold on to them and stand in front of them and stand behind them and stand around them, and people trying to hold up on somebody and stop them from moving around, stop them from dancing, stop them from running, you are grieving the Spirit that very minute. That Holy Ghost needs to be relieved, and the Holy Ghost is not going to stay in a dwelling where he cannot be free. He's got to be free. If you want deliverance, the Holy Ghost has got to have freedom to move. Forget about the program. Forget about the schedule. Forget about the time. Forget about what time it is. Give the opportunity for the Holy Ghost to move, and just maybe that fire will move on you too. Just maybe you'll get a part of that deliverance too. Let it go. Every person in the house in the upper room was filled with that fire, every last one of them, which means everybody in the house of God ought to be filled with that same fire. So nobody should be trying to hold anybody else back. Nobody should be trying to hold anybody else down. Nobody has no kind of business being standing around people trying to hold on to people to keep them from moving around and jumping around. I'm going to tell you right now, Apostle Caldwell walks in the house and the Holy Ghost or power of God hits me, I'm telling you, get out of the way. I have been known to run backwards around the church. Get out of the way. I'll knock you down. I'll run right over top of you. Get out of the way. Leave folk alone to get their deliverance. Stay out of the way. Leave them alone. It's a hindrance. The other thing you want to understand in the scripture, he says in verse 5, and there were dwelling, in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now he says, the Bible says every nation under heaven was there. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. What were they doing, people of God? There was a prophecy going on. These nations of men and Jews come together in this place and around this house, and each nation was hearing the prophecies being spoken in their own language. These people, the Holy Spirit was using these people, the Holy Ghost was speaking through them, and each nation understood what was actually going on. Instead of just one voice, it was one God, one Holy Ghost, speaking through many people, speaking through different languages. Each nation understood what was being said. My God in heaven. Somebody got prophesied to right there. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galatians? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Keep an eye on this, people of God. I'm getting ready to close. Keep an eye on this. The Lord is showing you in this hour what He is looking for. The Lord is showing you what He's looking for. What does He want? He wants your presence. He wants your attention. He wants you to come into His presence. He wants you to be there. He wants to know where you are. Watch this and watch very carefully. If you want God to move on your life, now is the time. If you want God to move in your life, in your ministry, if you want Him to move in your family, if you want God and you're seeking God for answers to whatever the situation is, now is the time to go to the upper room and seek out His presence. Now is the time. Make sure that you've given all your time to God when you're in the upper room. They sat there and they waited and waited and waited and waited. It did not happen overnight. They sat and waited and they waited and they waited. It did not happen in 1 hour. They sat there and waited and waited. It did not happen in 1 day. They sat and waited and waited and waited and waited until everybody was on one accord. They sat and waited. It did not happen in 2 days. They waited. It did not happen in 3 days. They waited and waited and waited till everybody was on one accord. They sat there, people of God. They sat quietly and waited for the Holy Ghost. They waited for the Holy Ghost that God said that He was going to send, and it blew through the walls. People of God, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to feel like the whole room is crushing in on top of you. You're going to feel like the ceiling is blowing out. You're going to feel so hot inside of you that you just cannot sit any longer. You're going to be in that place, people of God, that nothing else matters. Excuse me. You're going to be in that place, people of God, where everything that you believe in and everything that you thought is going to be absolutely made clear to you. Everything you need to see is going to come into your light. You're going to see it. The Holy Ghost helps you to understand what you need to see. Let Him work on you today. Stop everything you're doing. I'm going to pray with you now. Holy Spirit, have your way in the lives of every single man and woman that is listening in this hour. Minister to them. Visit with them. Sit on them, Holy Ghost. Those who are seeking you, those who need a miracle, those who are looking for signs and wonders, sit on them, Holy Ghost. Sit on them. Sit right there where they are and burn everything out that is not like you in Jesus' divine name. Amen and amen. God bless you in this hour.
Praise the name of God. Apostle, are you there?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What I want you to do is go ahead and do a little more teaching. Go ahead and do a little more teaching.
Okay.
You got the line. Is, go ahead and do some more teaching. The line is filled up. You all right?
Yes, I'm okay. Amen. I am okay. Hallelujah. I've been requested to continue. So let us go. Let us continue. Amen. I cannot hear anyone. I cannot hear anything at all. I'm listening to the voice of God. I want you all to go to Psalms with me. Go to Psalms 85. I cannot hear anybody at all. The Bible declared in Psalms 85 and verse 7, show your mercy, Lord. Show your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. People of God, if you have the true and living Holy Ghost in your spirit, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, this should not happen.
Amen.
You should never turn back to folly if you are truly filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep going because it's been requested of me to continue. But
amen.
Psalms in chapter 85 in verse 7, the Bible declares, show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. That is a period. In other words, what he's saying is, God, have mercy on us. We need salvation. Before you can get the Holy Ghost, people of God, you've got to have salvation. The Holy Ghost does not fall on a sinner. Come on now, somebody. Understand what I'm saying. You've got to be saved first. You've got to be redeemed first, and then seek the Holy Ghost. He says, I will hear God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Too many people in this day and age are trying to figure out the difference between the Holy Ghost and salvation. The difference between the Holy Ghost and salvation is, if you're not saved, then you can't get the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. Salvation is the salvation that you receive from the cross. When you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you accept him as your Lord and Savior and you proclaim him to be Lord and Savior of your life, then his blood has redeemed you from your sins. Now you can go seek the Holy Ghost. Now you can go and sit in that upper room and wait for the Holy Ghost to sit upon you so that all the bad habits and all those things that you were doing before you were saved can all be burnt out of your system. All those things that you are struggling with can be burnt out of your system. Now let's look at this. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that the glory may dwell in our land. What exactly is he talking about? Those people who have salvation, those people that are seeking the Holy Ghost, are the ones that have the ability to fear him. Why do you have the ability to fear him with the Holy Ghost? Because the conviction of the Holy Ghost will keep you from doing the things that you were doing before you were saved. This is what I've been talking about for weeks and months, people of God. This is the hour to pay attention to what is happening. We are dealing with a New Age doctrine where people are actually teaching it, all you need is to be saved. Nope, that's not all you need. Because if all you need to be saved, then how in the world are you going to survive just being saved when you need the Holy Ghost? Jesus told us and gave us instruction to go back to the upper room and wait for the Holy Ghost. He said there will be one come behind me that will be your guide. So we need to wait for something else. When you accept the salvation of the cross, now you've got to go and look for something. There's something else that's got to come behind that. If it were not meant for us to have the Holy Ghost, Jesus would not have told us to wait on it. Keep in mind, people of God, in order for us to be able to dwell in our salvation, then our land must be free. Our dwelling has got to be cleaned out. Our land is where we are. It has to be cleaned out. in Jesus' name. Verse 10 says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Okay? Mercy is what God has on us through redemption. He's got mercy. He's given us mercy through redemption. Now, peace and truth have come together. It says mercy and truth have met together. What's mercy? The mercy is what God has given to us, the redemption. But the truth is that Jesus died for you to have that redemption. They come together. Now, this is the other thing that you need to pay attention to in verse 10. Righteousness and peace have kissed. What's righteousness? Righteousness is what we need to understand that we operate in after we're saved. You can't operate in righteousness and not be redeemed. You've got to be redeemed and understand what righteousness is in order to be able to live in righteousness. Once you're saved, there's automatically a conviction that comes over you that tells you this is right and that's wrong. I am striving for righteousness, and the only way I can strive for righteousness is to understand the peace and love of God that he has already given me through redemption. How do I find it? I've got to be in his presence. I've got to spend time in God's presence. What happens when I spend time in God's presence? I'm seeking him quietly, praying quietly. Then suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord will come over me. He says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathways. We cannot have righteousness without redemption. We cannot even have peace without the love of God. We cannot be in the place of God without understanding that what he expects of us. His dwelling place has got to be clean. Why do we need that upper room experience? In order for that dwelling place to be burnt up. The dwelling place that Christ wants to stay in is in our heart. He wants to be in our soul. He wants the redemption to be upon us. He wants his blood to be upon us. He wants his stripes to be upon us. He wants us to understand that he has died for our sins. He wants us to understand that he died for our redemption. He wants us to understand that he did not die alone, that there's one that's coming behind him. He wants us to understand we got an upper room experience that we can go to for help. He wants us to understand that the Holy Ghost is our help. He wants us to understand that we got to seek that Holy Ghost in order to be filled.
Glory God.
He wants us to understand that this is the hour, people of God, that we are facing all kind of people. We're facing all kind of teaching. We're facing all kind of doctrine. We're facing New Age. We're facing punk rock. We're facing concert church. We're facing all kinds of prostitution. We're facing all kinds of pimping. We're facing all kind of New Age music. We're facing all kind of God. Gospel. People of God, we can't face it without the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to have an understanding of what it is that you're facing. You've got to know where you are in God. You've got to know. You've got to feel that thing. You've got to say, oh, no, wait a minute. This ain't right. That's not what Jesus said. Oh, no, that's not right. That's not righteous. Oh, no, this is not right. That's not what God said church was. You've got to know when you walk in the door, is this Jesus? Is this not? You've got to know when you walk in the door, did God send me to this place? He may very well have, so that your spiritual eye is opened up. Did God send me here? He may very well have to check your discernment. He said he would test you. He did not. God does not tempt you. He said you would be tempted. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, so you know when you're being tempted and so you know when you're being tested.
Glory God.
We have to have an understanding of exactly where we're going and what's going on and what's happening in this very hour, people of God. If we don't know what's happening in this hour, people of God, then we don't know anything. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, then we are blindsided Christians. That's where we are.
Glory Glory God.
I have been informed many a time. This church is on fire. That church is on fire. And this place is on fire. Thank you, Jesus. Something is on fire. Thank you, Jesus. The something is on fire out there. I want to be in the presence of God when I walk into the church. I don't want to see an altar covered up with all kind of artwork. I don't want to see no kind of structures all over the altar. I don't want to see no kind of displays all over the altar. I don't want to see no idols in the church. I want to lay on my face before God at the altar and know that I'm going to get a visitation. I want to know that God is at the altar waiting on me. I want to know that when I sit on that altar, that the Holy Ghost is going to deliver whatever it is that's got me bound. I want to know. I want to know when I go into a place, I can look at the sanctuary and recognize the sanctuary. I want to know that when I go into church that I'm not looking at somebody's rock garden stage. I want to know when I go into the sanctuary that I'm not looking at some kind of rock concert stage. I want to know when I walk into somebody's church that I'm actually in a church. That's the house of God, the sanctuary of God. Where is his sanctuary? So many people have told me, Apostle, I feel as long as I'm by myself, or as long as I stay home, that God is with me. People of God, let me tell you something. Suffering at home is the same thing as suffering anywhere else. No matter where you are, if you are not in the assembly of faithful believers, if you're not in the assembly of faithful people of God, true Holy Ghost filled people of God, you're going to sit and suffer. The suffering will come. We're not perfect by any means. We are a people that God has created to be in his image. We need to look like him. We need to act like God. We need to be seen as people of God. It is a sad situation when you meet somebody that declares that they're a Christian and you can't tell the difference between a demon and a Christian.
Jesus.
You can't tell the difference looking at them, whether they're a witch or a Christian. You can't tell the difference looking at somebody that are actually a spirit-filled Christian. Oh, well, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. See, I've got tattoos all over me. I've got crosses everywhere. My crossings, and the Lord told me to get this piercing and told me to get that piercing. The devil is a lie. Go get Leviticus 28. God ain't told nobody to get something that he absolutely sees as an abomination. God did not create nobody's tattoo. He sees it as an abomination. It is a mark of death. Why would he give you a mark of death if he loved you enough to redeem you from the sin? The devil is a lie. When I go into my sanctuary, I want to know that God is waiting on me. I want to know that. I want to know that the house is clean. I want to know that my house is ready. What am I talking about, Apostle? Is my mind and my heart and my spirit ready to receive Christ? Is it? That's your question. I know mine is. Is it? Ask yourself that question. Is my mind really lining up with the Word of God? Or am I just listening to somebody that's talking about something that I like hearing because I don't have to change? Is it really? Are you being taught from that sanctuary about how your life has got to change when you receive Jesus Christ? Because my Bible said that when receiving Jesus Christ, I become a new creature. That means that the old man has to pass away. I've got to give up some stuff, folk. That means that I can't be who I used to be. I can't go where I used to go. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, yes, I got redeemed. But that conviction followed me everywhere I went. That conviction followed me every time I went in my closet and wanted to put on my tight little pants. I'm telling you, that conviction said, girl, you're too big for them pants. I had to put on a size that actually fit.
I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost came upon me and the power of God came upon me and I got delivered from myself, from the chains of the bondage in which I lived in, every time I looked in the mirror, I saw a face that was behind a mask. And when I took that mask off and I washed my face, I saw the glory of God on my own face. I was looking at the mirror and I could see God in my face because I was not standing behind a mask.
Jesus.
I'm telling you what happens when you accept the redemption of Jesus Christ. Don't let nobody tell you that it's okay to stay in the same old sinful mess that you walked into the sanctuary with. It is not okay. You went in there for a reason. You went in there because you were hungry. You went in there because you needed to know that there was more to life than just filling around and trying to see what you could get your hands on. You knew that there's more than life than just being alone with somebody that you know is holding you down. You knew that there's something more to life. You went in there looking for God. Did you find him? Was it a place that God would even dwell? Did you find him? Was it a place that you could lay on the altar before him and pray without looking at somebody's wooden statue or without looking at a broomstick or without looking at candles or somebody's costume? Did somebody have on a wig? Was it some kind of a warlock head hanging on the wall? Was it some kind of mask hanging on the wall? Were you able to find God in that place? Were you? Or was it just somebody saying to God, it's here, I feel the presence of God, and it was deader than a graveyard?
Jesus.
Somebody need to close that casket. It's empty, baby.
Mm.
The Bible tells me that when Jesus rose from the grave, that he folded his grave clothes up and left them in the grave. The Jewish tradition means when you fold your clothes up, it means you're coming back, people of God. Ain't no other prophet ever walked this earth that woke up from the grave and folded his clothes up. They all came out stinking like their clothes. Every last one of them. And when they died, the second time, they stayed dead. Christ is the only one that rose from the grave and never died again. He's alive forevermore in this hour. He went ahead to prepare a place for us in heaven. The place of all eternity. And we are going to be judged in this hour. We're going to be judged for what we do. We're going to be judged for what we don't do. We're going to be judged for what we teach. We're going to be judged for the way we look. We're going to be judged for the way we act. We're going to be judged according to our works. People of God, we're going to be judged. Oh, yeah, my God is a God of love, and I just can't see him. I just can't see him killing people, baby. I'm going to tell you what, you better get in that Bible, you better study it, because God will kill people. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. We're never guaranteed to wake up from anything. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. How are you going to stay there and tell me that God don't kill people and he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed them. He destroys anybody that sins against him. Every single time somebody does something against God and they die, they wonder, how did that happen? Well, that was a merciless death. That was a horrible death. What did you expect? When people sin against God, there is no coming back. They've got to repent. Not only to God, but they got to also confess what they've done. Repentance means you turn away from. You walk away from that mess. So when you confess to somebody, people of God, leaders, apostles, bishops, prophets, pastors, when you confess your sins before God, you also have to go to the same people that you've been leading in that sin out of it.
Jesus, Lord God.
You've got to go back and tell them, I was wrong, I've been teaching wrong, I've been doing wrong, I've been living wrong. Please forgive me, I have been wrong. Yes, there will be people that will get up and leave, but there will also be people that will forgive you and stay. Now what you've got to do is stop doing what you were doing. You just confessed it, now move on and meet him the right way. And let God send people back into the sanctuary that have also got the answer. Let him send people back in. Open up the doors of the church. Entirely too many people in this hour are shutting down churches that they swear that God has told them to open.
Mm-hmm.
If God told you to open that church, baby, then he's going to be there to keep it open. If he told you to open that house, he's going to be there. God is going to be there, and he's going to make sure it stays open. He's going to fill that house with people that are hungry and looking for him. But what you have to do as a leader is seek him and ask for that Holy Ghost to burn everything out of that place that is not like God. Get those chains off of you.
Jesus.
And then start leading people's God. Then start leading the people of God into the promised land. Stop being so rebellious and so disobedient that you want to keep looking back to Egypt. Stop complaining about everything that God says that he's going to do. Stop complaining because it's not happening soon enough. Stop complaining with that nonsense that people prophesying over to you. That they said this was going to happen. They said that was going to happen. If it is a true prophecy, seek God about it. We get to the place, people of God, to where we are so... We accept everything that's being spoken over us because of somebody's name, because of their reputation. Just because somebody happens to be a celebrity don't mean that what they're speaking to you is from God. It means that somebody's speaking something that you want to hear. That don't mean it's from God. Test the spirits. Don't accept everything. Don't receive everything. If it is what you've been praying about and it lines up with the scriptures, well, I receive that. Praise the Lord. I receive that. But God is not going to send a messenger to tell you something that he has not said.
Amen.
Test it. Test it. Be still and wait. In the name of Jesus.
Glory, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Lord God.
Yes, Lord God,
it is so.
Yes, Lord God.
Yes, Lord God.
Yes, Lord God.
Yes, Lord God.
Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go back to the upper room, people of God. Apostles, go back to the upper room. Wait on the Lord before you make another move. Apostles, go back to the upper room. Sit and wait on the Holy Ghost to move on you before you plan another door, before you make another move. Wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit, because there's too many people in your ear telling you what thus saith the Lord, and God is not speaking through everybody. He's speaking through the Holy Ghost. Go back to the upper room, apostles. Sit there and wait. Wait until something happens, and you know without a shadow of a doubt it's God, because you did not tell nobody else. You're in the upper room, and you are praying and you're seeking God for what you need done, what needs to be done. You think God don't know what needs to be done? He planned out your life before you even knew your own name.
Jesus.
Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he planned out your whole life. You think God don't know what you need? Apostles, go back to the upper room and sit there and confess disobedience, confess rebelliousness, confess what you've been doing is wrong, confess your sins before God, because a lot have. We're human. We're imperfect. Go back to that upper room and say, Lord, forgive me for my impatience. Forgive me that I have not waited on you. Forgive me that I have decreed and declared things that are not of you. Forgive me. Help me. I'm in a place now where I really dug myself into a hole. Go back to that upper room and watch God work. Lay on your face before him until he moves in your favor. You will know that it's God. When things start happening and you did not share with somebody what you saw in the upper room, let them come to you as the Jews and the men of renown did in the day of Pentecost. Let them come to you, apostles. Let them come in and tell you what they see. Let them come in and minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit fall on you so you can get those simple and wicked chains off of you. You are good people, apostles. You're good men of God. You're good women of God. Let those chains be broken off of you in this hour. Stop that mess. Get up out of it.
Jesus.
There's an all-time crying now for the apostles to come to order. Come to order in the name of Jesus, apostles. You are needed, men and women of God.
Jesus,
you're needed to be in order. Come back to the Word of God. Come back to it. Get back to that altar and clean that house out. Get rid of all that junk that don't belong in the sanctuary. They want to go to a concert? Let them go rent a hall somewhere. They want to go to a concert? Let them go to the high school. There's plenty of concerts going on at the high school.
Come on.
They want to go to a concert? Let them go out in the field someplace and sit up under somebody's tent. Let them go to the festival. Let them go to somebody's park. But keep that sanctuary holy. God can't dwell where it's not holy. And that's why you're suffering. That's why you've got things going on in your life. That's why your mind is so confused. That's why you're trying to teach something and you don't understand yourself. There's no room for God in mess. There's no room for holiness in a place where he cannot dwell. He said, keep my house holy. How can his house be holy if it's full of sin? Take the mask off, apostles. Take the mask off, people of God. Because folks is talking, and they're going to talk anyway. But let me tell you what, the graveyards are filling up too, baby. The graveyards are filling up.
Preached it.
It's filling up. And those graves are not empty, people of God. There's good men and women that are dying entirely too soon. Because they refuse to let go of the sin that's holding them in bondage. They refuse to admit that they're wrong. They refuse to confess that they have been molesters. They refuse to confess the greed in which they've been calling for. They refuse to confess that they have been sinful, wicked ways. That's why they're in the graveyard and not in a pulpit. Because they absolutely refuse. They refuse to repent. Why are apostles so sick in this hour? Why is your body so afflicted? Why is arthritis so strong? Why is it eating everybody up? Why is fibromyalgia going crazy with apostles in this hour? Why is cancer tearing people down? Why is HIV, AIDS tearing people up and killing people? Every minute somebody's dying from sickness and disease, because they won't repent. That's why you're falling out of the pulpit, because you can't hold it up, because the Holy Ghost is not in you.
Jesus.
Hey! Oh,
God.
Let the blood of Jesus cover that thing before you get on it. Lay down before God and get this mess up. Get it off of you.
Jesus.
Hey, the day is going to come when those graves are going to open up, and there's going to be men of God left in those graves because they refuse to repent, because they refuse salvation, because they refuse to listen to the Holy Ghost, because they refuse to clean out the house of God. Pick up that cross and lay on it. Get back to where you need to be. No matter how it looks, no matter who walks out on you, clean out those closets. And better yet, get out of that closet yourself.
Oh, Jesus.
Clean up those clothes. Go put them in the fire pit. Get rid of
of those nasty clothes you're wearing and put them in a fire pit. Don't give that stuff to somebody else to wear. Why should they look like the demon that you were wearing?
Mm.
Burn them things up. Put them in a fire pit and burn them up. Burn those pink cut and green and blue wigs up. You women are too gorgeous, naturally gorgeous, to be looking like something that came out of a fashion show. Go back to the natural. Go back to it. Let the Holy Ghost burn all that stuff off of you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Quit trying to look like a witch. You're not a witch. Quit trying to look like one. You're not a cat. Quit trying to look like a cat.
Hello?
You're not a lion. Quit trying to look like a lion. You're not a bear. Quit trying to look like a bear. You're not an animal. Quit trying to look like an animal. Get yourself back on your knees at that altar and clean all that stuff out of that sanctuary.
Yes,
thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other idols before me. Every single statue that people bring into the sanctuary represents an idol.
Jesus.
My God, my God.
Glory
to God. Holy Ghost, go over the whole world. Holy Ghost, saturate the airways right now. Holy Ghost, saturate every single person that's on this airway right now, oh God.
Thank you, God.
Get on them. Fill them with the fresh fire of the Spirit. Fill them with that fresh fire of the Holy Ghost and burn that nonsense out of them. Burn it out.
Oh, yes, in Jesus' name.
Open their eyes to see what they got to see in this hour, my God. Open their hearing that they will hear what you're saying in this hour, my God.
Yes, Lord God.
Father God, I ask you right now to go out and sit on every last person that is on this airway right now. Change their life forever.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, God. Thank you, God. He katara la boko terere bari ni la la ko terere de asa. He lere de koro lo boko ndere de ba ki terere de si. He lere de koro lo boro mon gire la kondere de si de la ka. He lere koro moro ko terere ba ki terere de si. He lere de kondere de ba hi de kando lo bo si. He katara la so ere la ba ki terere de si. He lere kondere de ba la ki terere de si. He lere de kondere de ba si. Halarara, kondere de ba ki tere si. Halarara, kondere de ba si. Hele da kondere de ba si. Hele de da kandara la bo se. Halara, kotere de bisa. Hele de da marira kandara la ba ha. Hikatoro bo kotoro arira kandara la ba si. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Hele da kondere de ba ka. Hike tere de si, da la bo kondere de si. Hele de kondere de si, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, canere condere de bahari da condere de bakite. He sarara cotere de basa. Helere de condere de si. Helere de condere de si. Era cotere de basa. He catara basi candere de si. Helere de condere de si. Helere de condere de si catara basi. Helere de condere de baracandera si.
Okay, I'm trying to see what's going on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Heresy. 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 Tarara ore candidacy. Heresa. Haramoro conde. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. 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 Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the cleansing, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the cleansing, Father God. I just thank you for the cleansing, oh, God. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the healing in my body, mind, and spirit, oh, God. Father God, I just thank you for blessing everybody on this line, Father God. Father God, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the conviction, God.
He said, "I caught it in a bahando robose. He caught the roboto robose in a rakite. In a bacatarasa.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for moving even when we can't see it, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. Glory to your name, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You say we have not because we ask not, God. We have not because we ask not, God. Oh God, I thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. More of you, God, and less of me. Father God, I thank you, God. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, God. Oh. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood, oh God. Thank you for your precious blood, oh God. Oh, Jesus, no weapons formed against anybody on this line, Father God. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd like to talk to you about the subject of we are our brother's keeper. This past Sunday, I preached from the gospel from the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. And in the fourth chapter in the book of Genesis, we learn that Adam and Eve, his wife Eve, and they had two children. And in the book of Genesis, in the fourth chapter, the first recorded murder takes place when the two sons, Cain and Abel, Cain was the older brother. Cain brought an offering to God. He was one who worked with his hands in the fields. His brother, however, dealt with the livestock. They both brought offerings to the Lord, and the Bible says that Abel's offering was acceptable to God, and that Cain got angry, and that he murdered his brother. And in verse 8, when it records the history of the murder, it says, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And Cain said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And the Lord said, 'What have you done? Twice your brother's blood cries out for me from the ground. And so now you are cursed from the earth, which opens mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand.'" And again, I'd like to talk to you from the subject that we are our brother's and our sister's keeper. When I think about the story about Cain and Abel, I think about the senseless murders that are happening, not just in this country, but particularly in this country and all over the world, how brothers are killing brothers and cousins and friends, and how this has been going on since the first two children that Adam and Eve bore. I think about how, as Christians, we say that we are Christians, which means Christ-like, and how we say that we love God and how God is love. Yet, so-called Christians don't show the love that God has commanded us all to feel. We are our brother's keeper. When I think about Cain and Abel, I don't just think about the senseless murdering. I think about the fact that we live in the richest country in the world, in the United States. And right now I'm in Houston, Texas, which is the fourth largest city in the whole United States. And it has one of the strongest economies, not just in the United States of America, but it has one of the strongest economies in the whole world. And I'm bothered. I'm bothered by the lack of sensitivity when we pass by people, and not just in Houston. We're supposed to have an unemployment rate less than 5% right now in full employment. Yet, on the streets of every major city, in Atlanta, Georgia, on Peachtree Boulevard, there are people with signs that says hungry. If you travel to New Orleans on Jackson Avenue in South Claiborne, you'll find the same thing. And here in Houston, where we have, again, one of the strongest economies, whether you're driving along 59 and you exit at Hillcroft and you see folks with signs under I-59 at Hillcroft, or at the intersection of Westheimer and Boston at Galleria, or even where I live in Katy, Texas, where the average income, the median income is over $85,000 a year, yet on Front Road, in front of the Walmart, there are people with signs that said hungry and I need food. Can you spare anything on the intersection? I'm bothered. I'm bothered when I get people say that they're just lazy and they don't want to work and they need to get a job like the rest of us and feed themselves. I'm bothered when people say that, you know what, they're just trying to get over it, if you will.
Good, go ahead.
Bye.